This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 60 degrees in Chapel Hill, 59 in Carborough, cloudy all day. Cooler, high today only in the low 60s, which means the temperatures are going to stay pretty much where they are right now. The Raleigh Police Department conducted undercover surveillance at meetings held by the North Carolina chapter of the NAACP to organize this year's mass protest of the Republican-led state legislature. Members of Raleigh City Council say they first learned of the police surveillance on Monday following inquiries by the Associated Press. State NAACP President William Barber says he's concerned Raleigh police chose to conduct surveillance at the planned meetings, which were typically held in the sanctuary of a nearby church. Barber says his group had nothing to hide and that the officers would have been welcomed had they worn uniforms or introduced themselves. About 940 people were arrested at the weekly Moral Monday rallies opposing GOP-backed policies. The protesters said damaged public education, voting rights, and working people. Many of those people who were arrested live right here in Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County. Well, you might have spotted the scrambled letter signs scattered across Chapel Hill and Carborough, but what's the message behind those mysterious posters? WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
The signs read, YRNTSQZPAPXL! It sounds and looks like gibberish, but Mary Carey said that's the point.
It frustrated adults and kids who are used to being able to read every sign.
The organization Bootstraps PAC is behind the posters. Carey said that more than 100 have been placed along the busy intersections in Orange County alone. Bootstraps is a nonpartisan volunteer political action committee that seeks to shed light on the childhood illiteracy problem in the Triangle.
When there are huge populations not learning how to read, it doesn't just impact that child. It impacts the entire community. It hurts Chapel Hill and Carborough that nearly half of our economically disadvantaged kids failed their reading tests.
Carey said that the signs were purposely placed to coincide with election season. She says she wants school board candidates and incumbents to take notice.
They're representing all the kids who can't read any of the signs or their classroom materials. There's a greater understanding and appreciation for the frustration that these kids are feeling every day.
Carey explained that the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System is one of the top districts in North Carolina, but that a significant portion of students are still struggling. Bootstrap's website reported that 51% of economically disadvantaged children in the school system failed the third grade reading test, according to information gathered from ncpublicschools.org. Carey said she hoped this sign campaign would boost activism in helping to solve childhood illiteracy in our area.
We want to connect them with organizations that are trying to help these kids and ask those individuals if they can give an hour a week and volunteer in a classroom or tutor with the Orange County Literacy Center or become a mentor.
For more information on area organizations to increase literacy, you can read this article on our website, chapelborough.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Tonight is likely to be the last time the Central West Steering Committee will meet before going before the Chapel Hill Planning Board to present its completed set of recommendations. Last week, members of the Planning Board said they were pleased with the drafted plan, but asked committee co-chairs Amy Ryan and Michael Parker for more clarification on several issues. The recommendations included uses and heights for proposed mixed-use development in the area, which is near the intersection of Estes Drive and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. It also included suggestions for bicycle and pedestrian amenities. The work of the Central West Steering Committee has not been easy since it was undertaken in December of last year, and at times the meetings have been downright contentious. Four members have formed their own unofficial subgroup and have said they cannot endorse the official plan. The group presented their revised map to the Planning Board last Tuesday during the public input session, which included what they called a more in-depth traffic analysis. They believed it better explained how the development could impact the neighborhood. The group also presented a report summarizing what they believed to be the shortcomings of the official plan. The committee meets tonight at 6 o'clock in the town's transit building on Millhouse Road, just off Eubanks Road in Chapel Hill. The yard signs are out, the endorsements are coming in, and early voting is just around the corner. Yes, campaign season has arrived in Orange County. Between now and Election Day, WCHL will continue to get you ready with four candidates forums for each of your top local races. It all begins next Monday, October 14th, just 6 days away, just a few days before the beginning of early voting, as we host the four candidates for Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board from 3 until 4 in the afternoon, and the nine candidates for Chapel Hill Town Council from 7 until 9 that night. We'll keep going the following Monday, October 21st, from 7 to 9 p.m., as we welcome the five candidates for Carborough Board of Aldermen. Finally, on Election Day Eve, Monday, November 4th, from 3 until 4 p.m., we'll host Chapel Hill's Mark Kleinsmith, Hillsborough's Tom Stevens, and Carborough's Lydia DeVell, all running unopposed for mayor of their respective towns, for a special conversation about the future of the three towns in the next 2 years and beyond. All four forums will take place right here at the WCHL studios in Chapel Hill. We'll carry all the forums live on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, and streaming, as always, on our website at chapelboro.com. Stay tuned to WCHL throughout campaign season for our ongoing one-on-one interviews with the candidates, plus all the latest on the 2013 election. Well, speaking of one-on-one interviews, Chapel Hill Town Council candidate Lauren Hintz says if he's elected to the council, he wants to make the implementation of the Chapel Hill 2020 Comprehensive Plan a top priority. WCHL's Rand Northam spoke with Lauren Hintz about his seeking election to the town council and how he believes he will best serve you.
Lauren, what do you believe is the number one issue in Chapel Hill that needs to be addressed?
I think the number one issue is implementation of the 2020 Comprehensive Plan and making sure that the citizens participate and we come up with good solutions to the problems which have been listed in that plan.
In a general sense, how do you intend to address that and other issues? I know you already essentially mentioned that a little bit.
I think one of the most important things for council to do is really carefully listen to the recommendations of the boards. Volunteers spend a lot of time giving ideas, and I think sometimes they're frustrated because they don't think council hears what they're saying. And so I really think that if council takes advantage of the hard work done by the citizens, it'll work out a lot better for everyone.
We're speaking with Chapel Hill Town Council candidate Lauren Hintz. How, as a member of the town council, are you going to make sure that all the voices of Chapel Hill are heard?
I think as council member, I would have to regularly ask staff, you know, what has happened, what's the input. I would encourage members of the board to come talk to me if they think there has been problems, that there hasn't been the process they thought was best, and just being aware of what's happening in the community.
And what's the one thing that sets you apart from the other candidates?
Probably the fact that I was a teacher for so long in the school system. Gives me a good chance to know what's been going on here. And then also the fact that I was a Peace Corps volunteer, so it gives me a different perspective about the United States and the world.
Once again, that is Town Council candidate Lauren Hintz speaking with WCHL's News Director Rand Northam. You can hear the full interview by viewing this story on our website at chapelboro.com. Between now and Election Day, we'll continue to preview each of the candidates one-on-one. Orange County commissioners will discuss a possible $100 million bond package when the board meets tonight. County leaders are looking to build a new jail and a new middle school for the Chapel Hill Carborough school system. They're also considering how to address the need for renovations in the area's oldest schools in both our local school systems. To finance these projects, commissioners are considering putting a bond package totaling $100 million up for a vote on November of 2014. The board will also discuss a plan to create a solid waste tax service district that would include Hillsborough, Carborough, and possibly Chapel Hill. Money for the current countywide recycling pickup service will run out next year, as a recent state Supreme Court ruling found counties have no authority to levy the fees that funded the program. County officials are exploring the tax district concept as an alternative. The board will meet tonight at 7 o'clock at the Link Government Services Center in Hillsborough. And the Board of Aldermen will consider spending $40,000 to create a cultural arts and entertainment district in Carborough. The town is partnering with the Arts Center on the project, and the Stroud Roses Foundation will also commit about $10,000 in funding. In addition, the Aldermen will meet with the Arts Center's Board of Directors to discuss plans for developing a new facility. The board will meet tonight at 7:30 in Carborough Town. Town Hall. And after 32 years in University Mall in Chapel Hill, Cameron's Gift Shop will be the first business to move into the new 300 East Main Street in Carborough this coming weekend.
Yeah, we're really excited. You know, it's a hard decision about what to do, whether to stay at the mall or change locations. But then when we heard about 300 East Main, it just seemed like a really good fit for us and, you know, for attracting the type of customers we're looking to attract. And we really like the growth that we're seeing in Carborough. So we're really excited about it.
That's Cameron's co-owner, Bridget Pemberton-Smith. She says she and the other principals at Cameron's think the new location will provide the store with some new clients while still being well-received by its regular customers.
Some of the clients will be different. I think being under a hotel, that's going to bring us a lot more tourist traffic, which we've always found that people who are visiting Chapel Hill really enjoy our store because it's sort of out of the ordinary and it's not something you're going to see in every town. But then we also found that a lot of our regular customers who are coming over to our current location are from Carborough, so they're all really excited to have us move a little closer to them.
Located at the ground floor of the building that hosts the Hampton Inn in Carborough, the new store will only be one floor, unlike the two-story shop at University Mall, making it easier for many shoppers to look around. Pemberton-Smith tells WCHL this new location will also allow the addition of some new merchandise.
We're going to keep the inventory more or less the same, at least the same sort of genre, but we are bringing in some new lines that we're really excited about. New jewelers, new cards, just a little bit of new everything.
The store will reopen October 15th, but will have its official grand opening celebration on November 18th. Pemberton-Smith says that Cameron's doesn't plan on moving to another location in the near future, and the store is encouraging everyone to see its new location next week. Again, Cameron's will be the first business to open at the new 300 East Main Street in Carborough, and they will open their doors this weekend. WCHL News Time, 7:18. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you by Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carborough. Good food, fine wine, lots of fun. Online at glasshalffullcarborough.com. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic moving smoothly right now. I-40, 15501, NC-54, the Durham Freeway. We're also seeing smooth traffic on Estes Drive. Manning Drive, not seeing any problems right now either. You might see some slowdowns right around the stoplights. Traffic is picking up now as people are getting off to work, getting off to school, wherever you might be going. So use caution as you travel, but things looking to move smoothly right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you communicate with us safely, however you do it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather presented by Elmo's Diner. When life demands more than just breakfast, Elmo's offers lunch, dinner, shakes, cakes, and so much more. Elmo's Diner at Carmel Mall in Carborough. 60 degrees in Chapel Hill, 59 in Carborough, also 59 this morning in Hillsborough. A little bit on the chilly side, but the temperatures are going to stay pretty much where they are. Cloudy all day, cooler. Highs today only in the low 60s, so it'll get just a few degrees warmer. Tonight, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain, mainly late. Overnight low 55. And then tomorrow, another cloudy day with a 50% chance of rain and the high in the middle 60s. So our temperatures have definitely taken a turn for the cooler.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time is 7:20. Championship sports on the way in just a couple of minutes here. Your new state representative will be selected Thursday, October 24th. The four-person committee that will nominate the new legislator met last night. Five Orange County residents announced their intentions to fill the North Carolina District 50 House of Representatives seat, formerly held by Valerie Pusci. You can find interviews with four of the five candidates on our website, chapelboro.com. We spoke with Greg Meyer, Lauren Eastham, Drew Nelson, and Bernadette Pelissier. Tommy McNeil never returned WCHL's calls. Vice President Joe Biden will visit North Carolina later this month, in part to raise money for U.S. Senator Kay Hagan's re-election bid. A Hagan spokeswoman confirmed on Monday that Biden was scheduled to speak October 21st at a luncheon at the Washington Duke Inn in Durham. Tickets range from $500 to $10,000. Proceeds go to a committee for Hagan, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, and State Democratic Party. The News Observer of Raleigh first reported the vice president's appearance. Hagan is seeking a second six-year term in 2014. At least four Republicans are running for their party's nomination to challenge Kay Hagan, including State House Speaker Tom Tillis. Tillis is getting fundraising help from Karl Rove, the one-time strategist for President George W. Bush. He will be appearing at Tillis' events next month. And we'll bring you up to date on what's happening with the Music Maker Relief Foundation, an organization in Hillsborough doing everything it can to keep the blues and blues musicians afloat. And that story from Carolina Connection coming up at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Brought to you by Fitz Lumber and Hardware. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. North Carolina's Jack Tabb will be suspended for the first half of next week's game against number 13 Miami following his ejection in the weekend loss at Virginia Tech. Tabb is a tight end who started at linebacker against the Hokies and actually played on offense and defense on Saturday. He was ejected with about 4 minutes left for throwing a punch during a kickoff return. On Monday, team spokesman Kevin Best announced a suspension required by NCAA rules after the school had confirmed with the Atlantic Coast Conference. Tabb had just come back from a two-game suspension for breaking unspecified team rules. The Tar Heels are now 1-4, 0-2 in the ACC. They will host the Hurricanes in a special Thursday night game on national TV on October 17th. WCHL will have complete coverage of the game, of course, as always. The number 12 UNC men's soccer team is midway through its regular season schedule, and the Tar Heels will see a record unlike many that have come before. Tar Heels have tied three of their last four opponents, including the most recent 0-0 decision against Duke. The constant deadlocks, together with the 1-0 loss to William & Mary, dropped UNC out of the top spot all the way down to number 12 in last week's poll. The new rankings just released. Carolina's opponent saw some movement in the polls last week as well, but in the opposite direction. Clemson Tigers are right next to the Tar Heels at number 13, moving up three spots. However, Clemson's last three meetings resulted in a win, an overtime loss to Notre Dame, and a tie. Tonight's meeting between Carolina and Clemson will kick off at 7 o'clock at Fetzer Field on the UNC campus. You can catch all the action right here on ESPN3. That is Carolina and Clemson, Carolina men's soccer. And in case you've been thinking about the Carolina Panthers, Coach Ron Rivera says the Panthers need to start playing more consistent football before it's too late, you think? Panthers are 1-3 for the third straight year under Coach Rivera and run the risk of falling out of playoff contention early, just as they did the last two seasons when they started 1-5 and 1-6. And if you believe all the speculation, Coach Rivera running the risk of losing his job, Cam Newton turned the ball over four times. He was sacked seven times, and the Panthers committed 11 penalties in a sloppy 22-6 loss to the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday. And that defeat came just 2 weeks after a lopsided 38-0 Panthers win over the New York Giants. So who knows what's going to happen when the Panthers step on the field. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
When does a coach begin looking ahead to the next season? This is Archansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. Larry Fedora is in that unenviable position of balancing the rest of the current season with his plans for the future of UNC football. The Tar Heels are not going to defend their tie for first in the ACC Coastal Division, thanks to disappointing execution and discipline that have left them 1-4. The loss at Virginia Tech makes the decision even more perplexing for Fedora, who inherited a program already down on talent and with scholarship limitations that will last through next season. So what is a coach to do? Maybe Carolina can still scratch out 6 or 7 wins, pretty much a given before the season started, but preparing for the future seems as much of a priority now. The future looks bright when you consider how well untested sophomore Marquise Williams did at Blacksburg in place of injured senior starter Bryn Renner. Williams looked more like the dual threat quarterbacks Fedora has had at Southern Miss and while running offenses at other schools. Marquise took off on a draw play on the very first snap, and he went on to make some strong and accurate throws most of the sunny day, wishing only one he had back. But when he underthrew Jack Tabb on fourth down, he learned a lesson he can only learn by playing at game speed. 100 reps in practice aren't the same as real-time plays, and in order for Williams to start strong in 2014, he has to play more as this season winds down. That's why you will also see more freshmen T.J. Logan and Chris Francis, speedy running backs who can return the ground game threat lost when Gio Bernard went to the NFL. On defense, it's not as obvious. Vic Koning will keep grooming young guys to make the defense better for the rest of this fall, with an eye toward building a more experienced, smarter unit in years to come. But does Fedora take series away from the record-setting Renner and a few other seniors he has on the roster for the sake of getting guys ready for next season? A lot of that will be answered against Miami on Zero Dark Thursday, October 17th. If the Heels can spring an upset, the season and chance for a good bowl bid are still alive. But if they fall to 1-5, you'll probably begin to see some names and numbers out there that you haven't seen as much so far. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
It is week 3 of the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple Giveaway presented by Seagroves Insurance. We're sending a couple of lucky Carolina basketball fans to New York City and the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut to watch the Tar Heels play in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic. Remember, we have more location sponsors than ever before this year, 38 in all where you can enter. And remember, if you want to increase your odds of being a finalist, enter at every location once every week for the next 4 weeks now at locations including Glass Half Full, Great Outdoor Provision Company, Harrington Bank, Homestead Senior Care, Jersey Mike's, Louise Beck Properties, Mama Dips, Moe's Bottle Shop, PTA Thrift Shop, Twig, and the UPS stores on Fordham Boulevard and Menomont, also Venable and Vietri. And don't forget to enter at our website, chapelbrew.com, and on Chapelbrew's Facebook page. We're drawing finalists weekly from each of those methods. And, of course, our on-air call-in finalist each weekday. You're in the WCHL morning, afternoon, and evening news. So if you want to be a finalist for the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple Giveaway presented by Seagroves Insurance, you can be caller number 6 right now at 919-929-WCHL. Caller number 6.
Exactly 5 years ago, Diamonds Direct came to Raleigh on a mission to revolutionize the way people here buy diamonds and bridal jewelry. Our concept was new to the Triangle then, but as second-generation diamond cutters, we were confident in our product. And after 15 years of selling to the public in Charlotte, we felt the Triangle was perfect for our unique concept. Diamond prices here were way too high, and selection was too limited. We came to give you a clear choice and a better alternative to old-style jewelry retailing. When we opened, word spread quickly. And today, Diamonds Direct Crabtree is one of the fastest-growing stores in America, with tens of thousands of satisfied customers and a solid reputation for quality, value, and service.
Hello, this is Barack Hennes, Vice President of Diamonds Direct Crabtree. I want to thank you for making us the leader in diamond and bridal jewelry. We love the Triangle and are thrilled to serve you, now and for years to come.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree, North Carolina's only direct diamond importer and the official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes. On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Plenix.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much.
If you don't know much about your dream job, make a change today at Durham Tech. This is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean at Durham Tech's Orange County campus. We've got continuing education classes, vocational training, and degree programs to get you started on your new career. Check out our website for our new course catalog at durhamtech.edu to start your new life today. Durham Tech, your future begins now.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Maximum Test Prep. It's half off. SAT test preparation services available now. Do you have a child taking the SAT test this November or December? Maximum Test Prep offers SAT, PSAT, and ACT test prep classes. With today's deal, you can choose from two options, either a 12-hour SAT test prep course or a 3-hour cram jam test prep session. It's half off from Maximum Test Prep. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Good morning at 7:30 at WCHL. Congratulations to Marion Cranford of Carborough, who called in and got qualified again for the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple Giveaway presented by Seagroves Insurance. Your opportunity to get qualified, go to our website, chapelbrew.com, and you'll have another chance next hour as well. Right now, it is 60 degrees in Chapel Hill. A really cool day on the way.
Chapelbrew.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM, WCHL's website, chapelbrew.com.
It's shared by two Europeans.
Professor François Anglais at Université Libre de Bruxelles, Belgique, and Professor Peter Higgs at University of Edinburgh, United Kingdom.
Nobel Committee said they won for this research.
For the theoretical discovery of a mechanism that contributes to to our understanding of the origin or mass of subatomic particles.
Scientists have long looked for the God particle, which was confirmed last year at the huge particle physics lab, a 17-mile racetrack under the Swiss-French border.
The Higgs mechanism, as it's called, is the cornerstone of our current theory of the universe, the particles that make up it.
Harry Cliff's at the London Science Museum. The Higgs boson is the particle that explains why elementary matter has mass, and today's two winners believe that the particle caused nature's building blocks to stick together and form atoms, sort of like molasses on snow. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 59 degrees in Chapel Hill, a little chilly this morning at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. Remember all those Moral Monday protests that went on in Raleigh? During that time, the Raleigh Police Department was conducting undercover surveillance at meetings held by the North Carolina chapter of the NAACP to organize this year's mass protest of the Republican-led state legislature. Members of Raleigh City Council say they first learned of the police surveillance on Monday following inquiries by the Associated Press. State NAACP President William Barber says he's concerned that Raleigh police chose to conduct surveillance at these planned meetings, which were typically held in the sanctuary of a nearby church. Barber says his group had nothing to hide and that the officers would have been welcome had they worn uniforms or introduced themselves. About 940 people got arrested at the weekly Moral Monday rallies opposing GOP-backed policies that protesters said damaged public education, voting rights, and working people. You might have spotted the scrambled letter signs scattered all across Chapel Hill and Carborough. A lot of people have been talking about them, but what's the message behind these mysterious posters? WCHL's Rachel Nash has more on the story.
The signs read, YRNTSQZ. P-A-P-X-L exclamation point. It sounds and looks like gibberish, but Mary Carey said that's the point.
It frustrated adults and kids who are used to being able to read every sign.
The organization Bootstraps PAC is behind the posters. Carey said that more than 100 have been placed along the busy intersections in Orange County alone. Bootstraps is a nonpartisan volunteer political action committee that seeks to shed light on the childhood illiteracy problem in the Triangle.
When there are huge populations not learning how to read, it doesn't just impact that child, it impacts the entire community. It hurts Chapel Hill and Carborough that nearly half of our economically disadvantaged kids failed their reading tests.
Carey said that the signs were purposely placed to coincide with election season. She says she wants school board candidates and incumbents to take notice.
They're representing all the kids who can't read any of the signs or their classroom materials. There's a greater understanding and appreciation for the frustration that these kids are feeling every day.
Carey explained that the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System is one of the top districts in North Carolina, but that a significant portion of students are still struggling. Bootstraps website reported that 51% of economically disadvantaged children in the school system failed the third grade reading test, according to information gathered from ncpublicschools.org. Carey said she hoped the sign campaign would boost activism in helping to solve childhood illiteracy in our area.
We want to connect them with organizations that are trying to help these kids and ask those individuals if they can give an hour a week and volunteer in a classroom or tutor with the Orange County Literacy Center or become a mentor.
For more information on area organizations to increase literacy, you can read this article on our website, chapelborough.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Tonight is likely the last time the Central West Steering Committee will meet before going before the Chapel Hill Planning Board to present its completed set of recommendations. Last week, members of the Planning Board said they were pleased with the drafted plan, but asked committee co-chairs Amy Ryan and Michael Parker for more clarification on several issues. The recommendations included uses and heights for proposed mixed-use development in the area near the intersection of Estes Drive and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. It also included suggestions for bicycle and pedestrian amenities. The work of the Central West Steering Committee has not been easy since it was undertaken in December of 2012, and at times the meetings have been downright contentious. Four members have formed their own unofficial subgroup and have said they cannot endorse the official plan. The group presented its revised map to the planning board last Tuesday during the public input session, which included what they called a more in-depth traffic analysis. They believed it better explained how the development could impact the neighborhood. The group also presented a report summarizing what it believed to be the shortcomings of the official plan. Well, the committee will meet tonight at 6 o'clock in the town's transit building on Millhouse Road, which is just off Eubanks Road in Chapel Hill. Some southern blues musicians who spent much of their lives singing about hard times now are indeed facing hard times themselves. A Hillsborough organization, Music Maker Relief Foundation, is doing everything it can to keep both the blues and these musicians afloat. Charlie Shelton has more from Carolina Connection.
Ever since he was a kid in South Carolina, Samuel Moore, better known as Ironing Board Sam, has been playing the blues. Now 75 years old, Sam's health and voice may not be all they once were, but he remains a vibrant representation of a rich southern musical tradition.
Every culture has that type of music, and they all should be reserved.
Whether he's banging out the blues or rocking on his piano bench to Boogie Woogie, Sam is a reminder that the roots of America's music are not dead, but are alive and bumping with every beat.
Only a few of us, the ones who sing the blues, a lot of them are gone. In fact, I think I'm about the only one left.
Musicians like Sam have been able to sustain the South's musical roots because of a small nonprofit in Hillsborough. Music Maker Relief Foundation aims to preserve the musical traditions of the South by helping older musicians who've fallen into poverty. Folklorist Tim Duffy helped create the organization in 1994 after he realized his good friend Guitar Gabriel, a one-time roots music revivalist, could no longer play the blues.
When to pick up him or his friends and they had a headache because of no medication for blood pressure, it was just an immediate reaction to help these guys.
UNC junior Hillary Stroud was a part of Music Maker's Next Generation program, an effort to pass down the tradition of roots music to a younger group. She recalls the effect Music Maker had on harmonica player George Higgs.
He was, at the end of his life, having real trouble breathing and was carting around an oxygen tank, but I think was skimping on oxygen because the tanks are expensive. And so Music Maker was able to get that information out to a donor base to help cover the cost of George Higgs' oxygen. And I don't know that the Higgs family would have been able to do without the help of Music Maker.
Music Maker raises its money through donations and album sales while paying the musicians for their performances.
When we first meet a person, they don't ask for a handout. They say, where can I get a gig?
That's just what happened with Ironing Board Sam. Duffy pulled him out of retirement, gave him new teeth, a new ride, and started scheduling shows. However, Sam originally introduced his talents way back in the 1960s on the first TV show to showcase African-American musicians.
All aboard! The night train now boarding, and you have the best seat in the house, so let's get rolling to great entertainment.
People talking, trying to break us up, but don't they let us be?
During his 2 years on Night Train, Sam experienced a meteoric rise in recognition and had the opportunity to play with musicians who would later become icons. One of those musicians was a young Jimi Hendrix.
The other musicians would come to and say, what they playing? You know, because we didn't sound like them. We didn't sound like nobody, but just Jimi and I was them. And they just go, oh, they just playing the modern rock and roll.
Ironing Board Sam may not look as young as he did on Night Train, yet he still has the same flair from his youth. But Sam acknowledges he would have never been back on the stage entertaining with his golden glitter jumpsuits and pink pinstripe blazers if it weren't for the dedication and generosity of Music Maker.
They got me out back doing what I love to do best, and what I love to do best is, you know, make people happy.
The pulse of the American South is beating in legends like Ironing Board Sam. And while he may long for a place somewhere over the rainbow, he can find comfort knowing Music Maker is preserving his legacy for now. In Hillsborough, I'm Charlie Shelton.
Carolina Connection is a radio news magazine at the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 on WCHL during the school year. Music Maker Relief Foundation, doing some great work. It is 7:41 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz, along with Rand Northam. How are you this morning, sir?
Outstanding.
You look good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you look like you're well rested, and I know that's not the case. But you give that appearance, which is all important these days. Appearance is everything.
Well, especially for radio. I appreciate that.
And it's a good thing it's radio, in my
it
case.
Is that. It is that.
Perfect face for radio. Yeah. So, hey, what's happening at chapelbro.com today?
Well, in our column section, we have Kristen Heemstra saying, I am one of those people who is really good at getting inconsequential crap done, that's a quote, especially when the important stuff is looming out there. Boy, do I know that feeling. It's called beating procrastination. That's what Kristen Heemstra has to say today.
You do what's going to be easy first. It's like, I've already started on my second million because they said making the first million is the hardest.
Right.
So I figured I'd start on my second one and come back to that one.
It's a good call. Yeah. I like that.
That's sort of the same concept.
Good thought. We've also got Festival 2013 up in our photo galleries. Lots of great photos from Franklin Street and that wonderful festival that was... saw beautiful weather and much different from last year. Last year was cold and rainy, and this year, beautiful, beautiful day.
I've been looking forward to that photo gallery, so I have to check it out.
You will have to do that. Also, in Huddle Up with the Heels, Bob Lee says, asks, of BobLeeSays.com, of course, is it fire or ice for UNC Athletics? He talks about, of course, the football scandal, indictments, all that, and puts the... kind of chuckles in the first paragraph and talks about if you put one hand in boiling water and you put one hand in a bucket of ice water, you'll feel pretty comfortable. Well, right now it's a boiling pot for UNC.
Speak for yourself, Bob Lee. You said, is it fire and ice? I immediately thought of Rodney Monroe and Chris Corciani, who used to be in the backcourt over at North Carolina State. They used to call them fire and ice.
There you go.
So
I thought of the fire and ice, what is it, the fire and ice... is it a cooking thing locally?
I don't know.
There's something fire and ice.
I can't help you. Sorry.
All right. Thanks. And also, we've got our short list up and running. The best place for a pumpkin-flavored treat. Where's the best place to get that treat? It is October, so all the pumpkin flavorings are coming out. And we want to know what is the best place to get one of those. So make your votes now on our website, chapelboro.com. All of this and much more available there with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right. Thanks so much. Professor Lou Margolis is back with another commentary about athletics and academics. He says we ought to just drop that term student-athlete altogether. That's coming up next on WCHL.
Exactly 5 years ago, Diamonds Direct came to Raleigh on a mission to revolutionize the way people here buy diamonds and bridal jewelry. Our concept was new to the Triangle then, but as second-generation diamond cutters, we were confident in our product. And after 15 years of selling to the public in Charlotte, we felt the Triangle was perfect for our unique concept. Diamond prices here were way too high, and selection was too limited. We came to give you a clear choice and a better alternative to old-style jewelry retailing. When we opened, word spread quickly. And today, Diamonds Direct Crabtree is one of the fastest-growing stores in America, with tens of thousands of satisfied customers and a solid reputation for quality, value, and service.
Hello, this is Barack Hennes, Vice President of Diamonds Direct Crabtree. I want to thank you for making us the leader in diamond and bridal jewelry. We love the Triangle and are thrilled to serve you, now and for years to come.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree, North Carolina's only direct diamond importer and the official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes. On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming's.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Most of us don't get to work at home in our PJs. If traffic and a commute are part of your daily routine, let us make that part of your day a little more enjoyable. Stop by Cruisers and enjoy a fresh brewed coffee and fresh baked biscuit in the morning, or a refreshing fountain drink with chewy ice, a hot dog, or a snack to end your day. Cruisers has 4 commuter-friendly area locations at Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Powell Place, and Briar Chapel.
Cruisers. Good to go.
Lloyd Tire at 730 Hillsborough Street is where to register for the Continental Tire Basketball Big Apple Giveaway. Serving Chapel Hill since 1984, Lloyd Tire carries Continental, General, and most other major brands. and is more than just tires. Lloyd offers all major automotive service and repairs and prides itself on the integrity of its business and employees, including three military veterans. You will get an honest appraisal and estimate at the most competitive prices. Stop by Lloyd Tire and Alignment at 730 Hillsborough Street and enter to win a trip to see the Tar Heels play.
WCHL's hometown hero today is Susan Brown, the new executive director of the Chapel Hill Public Library. That's coming up in just a few minutes.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. Due to massive marketing, the term student-athlete conjures images of heroic young men and women conquering ideas in the classroom and opponents on the playing fields. And indeed, most students who play Division I intercollegiate sports succeed in both domains, as do, by the way, student poets, student dramatists, student physicists, and others. Why, then, are we deluged by this term, student-athlete? Devised by the NCAA over 50 years ago, there are two reasons, both of which offend basic views of fairness in the relationship between employers and workers. First, because athletes are students, not technically workers, universities are not required to pay football and basketball players, the revenue or profit athletes, competitive wages. Everybody else in the system is generously compensated, coaches, athletics directors, and even all of the scholarship athletes in the other sports, but not those who actually generate the revenue. Second, because athletes are students, universities are not required to participate in workers' compensation systems, insurance programs that protect injured workers from severe economic losses. For example, how much responsibility should universities have for the economic and health consequences of the brain damage that is inherent in the game of football? In Lewis Carroll's classic, Through the Looking Glass, Humpty Dumpty scornfully says, "When I use a word, it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less." Alice replies, "The question is whether you can make words mean so many different things." "The question is," said Humpty Dumpty, "which is to be master, that's all." Let's master the term student-athlete by discarding it. Let's stop using it because it is not truthful. It does not enlighten. It is meant to disguise the unfair way that students who play Division I football and basketball are treated. Universities should be the champions of honest language, not the perpetrators of misleading terms that end up harming the students for which we are responsible in every other domain of higher education. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This is Jackie Helvey. Why is Carrboro such an edgy place? Weaver Street Market is community-owned, plus the place to gather, meet, and hang. The Arts Center is one-stop shopping for anything about the arts. Cat's Cradle is the music institution that helped us earn the designation the Seattle of the South. I could go on, but all I can say is, it's Carrboro. It's cool. It's edgy.
Explore. Taste. Tune in. Experience the edge of the triangle here in your own backyard.
At Five Guys, they're in business to sell quality burgers, period. Nothing beats Five Guys' hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all 15 free toppings. And who can resist Five Guys' fresh-cut Idaho fries cooked in trans-fat and cholesterol-free peanut oil? It's no wonder that Five Guys has been Sagat survey rated for 11 years. Stop by the new location at Meadowmont Village to see what all the buzz is about. For more locations and hours, visit fiveguys.com.
7:50 at WCHL. We have 60 degrees in Chapel Hill. More on the weather coming up. But first, let's take a look at morning traffic. And this traffic report is brought to you by Southern Season. Celebrate fall flavors at Southern Season, where they've got all your tailgating essentials and seasonal snacks on hand. Located at the University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound between the South Columbia exit and Manning Drive seeing delays. Also NC54 westbound between Barbie Chapel Road and 15501 seeing moderate delays at this time as well. NC86, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard heading northbound between Estes Drive and, heading north to about Homestead Road, seeing some heavy delays right now, so be on the lookout if you're traveling in that area. Otherwise, things are moving fairly smoothly. You might see additional slowdowns, especially around stoplights, as the morning commuters are out and about. If you see anything major as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior by giving us a call at 919-967-8363. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you do that safely.
Very easy. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, presented by Grimble Jewelers. Go see Berkeley Grimble today. Grimble's is always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler. Grimble's in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods in Chapel Hill. It is 60 degrees in Chapel Hill, 59 in Carborough, also 60 this morning in Hillsborough. A cloudy day. Cooler temperatures. Highs today only in the low 60s, so temperatures are going to stay steady. Tonight, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain, probably after midnight. Overnight low around 55. So not really a lot of variation. Tomorrow, we're looking at cloudy skies with a 50-50 chance of rain all day and the high in the middle 60s. Low tomorrow night, low 50s. Still big chance of rain all the way through Thursday. Actually, Thursday night, we'll have a big chance of rain all the way through that time. It is coming up on 7:52 at WCHL. We do have a 100% chance of Wayne Pond today. And Wayne, I hope you're not overflowing. And, you know, every time it rains a lot, we always look at that little area over there next to the WCHL towers, because it normally floods with heavy rains. And I don't know if it flooded yesterday or not, because I didn't ride over there. But I always think of you when I drive by there. How you doing?
Well, I'm glad to hear you've got me on your mind.
Right? Yes, you were always on my mind.
For
you
whatever,
and Willie Nelson.
For whatever irrelevant reason. Mm-hmm. I heard you and Fred singing this morning, and I heard the forecast just now, cloudy day, and sing a few bars of, what's the song that has the lyric, cloudy day in London town?
Cloudy day in London town?
A cloudy day in London town.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
It ain't rock and roll, so I'm not on top of it.
It's all rock and roll to you, pal. All right. Well, speaking of being rock and roll or not, here is an interesting little phrase, according to the wordsmith, that is all the rage. I confess, I have yet to bump into it face-to-face. And let's see if your experience is the same as mine. The word or term of the day, Ron, is key vive.
E-V.
That's two words. Q-U-I, first part. Last part is V-I, V as in Victor, V-I-V-E. Key-V-E. Are you familiar with this?
No, I don't think I've ever heard it.
Ron, you old rock and roll hound.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Well, I haven't either, but as I say, according to the wordsmith, it's making the rounds, so I thought I'd throw it out there and let the hounds have at it. Key vive is, according to Merriam-Webster, it's a noun, and the meaning is alert or lookout. The example sentence here is, newspaper copy editors must always be on the key vive for factual as well as grammatical errors. So let's see if we can put this into circulation, okay?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
That's you do?
Yeah, it is. It's cool.
Put a little French sauce on it, saute it for a moment, and just eat it right up.
Exactly right.
All right. Well, song or no song, you passed the test this morning. TV, there is your word or term of the day. Q-U-I-V-I-V-E, alert or lookout. Ron?
Hey, Wayne?
Keep those pipes tuned, pal. I want to hear you sing tomorrow morning, too.
Thank you so much for always fulfilling my hunger for knowledge. Wayne Pond with the word of the day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. You can do all that. We'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
97.9 FM, WCHL. This is Ron Stutz taking my vitamins this morning. getting ready for Lauren Stafford.
Nice and healthy with your A, B, and C vitamins.
Ladies and gentlemen, the South African Flash. Yeah, they do say certain things differently.
We do.
Yeah.
Anthony always gives me a hard time about produce.
Produce? Really?
Yeah, how are you supposed to say it?
Produce.
Produce. Produce. We say produce. Yes, produce.
Okay, whatever. It's all the
same,
anyway, I guess.
Anyway, a new word of the day. All right.
How about the joke of the day?
A smile of the day from Mae McClendon.
Oh, well, I know it's going to be good.
What's that?
Guaranteed.
Marsh Schwartz is dying and is on his deathbed. He is with his nurse, his wife, his daughter, and two sons.
Uh-huh.
And knows that the end is near. Okay. So he says to them all...
It's kind of sad.
A little bit so far. Bernie, I want you to take the Beverly Hills houses. Sybil, take the apartments over in Los Angeles Plaza.
My goodness.
Jaime, I want you to take the offices over in City Center.
Uh-huh.
Sarah, my dear wife, please take all the residential buildings downtown. The nurse is just blown away by all this, and as Mars slips away, she says to the wife, Mrs. Schwartz, your husband must have been such a hard-working man to have accumulated so much property that he's sharing with you all. Sarah replies, property schmopperty. The schmuck had a newspaper route.
That sounds like something like my family.
I think that sounds like a lot of families.
I love it. Yeah,
making sure they were covered till the end.
I'm telling you what. Split up that route. Hey, listen, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Take your vitamins.
I will. You too.
We'll see you.
See ya.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Susan Brown is the new Executive Director of the Chapel Hill Public Library, and she's today's WCHL Hometown Hero. And what does Susan think about the newly expanded and renovated library facility?
It's beautiful, which was my reaction when I first saw it. I actually, on the first tour I took of it, I said it's like a library in a treehouse. So it's a beautiful building. In my career, I've worked at three or four different libraries that have all done building projects. So it's really nice to come in when everything's done. But the other message, which is tied into this sort of looking at staffing and hours and services, is that the building is in some ways the least important piece of it. It's more about who's using us and what we're doing and the impact that we're making. So as I've told folks, the idea, some folks think, well, the building's built, so everything's done. We can stop talking about the library. And I say, no, 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 no. It's the beginning of a different conversation.
Susan Brown has been on the job for a while now, just a few months, but she says it will always be a work in progress.
I think we're still in that sort of figuring it all out and tweaking some workflows and procedures. And it's interesting because a lot of people, when they say, you know, the new director has this vision and you keep hearing about this vision I've got and I need to start telling people what that vision is. But part of it is going beyond, as I say, putting people at desks and moving books in and out the door. We do that pretty well right now. We've always done that. But the idea that modern public libraries are about a lot more, there's some really interesting, exciting things going on at public libraries everywhere. What I want to figure out is what Chapel Hill needs in that realm. So we'll always be the book spot. We'll always do, you know, the information services. But what else does Chapel Hill need us to be doing?
Susan Brown does have some excellent ideas about community input. She was walking the streets at Festival this past weekend talking to people about what they want in their Chapel Hill Public Library.
What we want to do more is outreach. So the idea that library programs and services don't have to live within the four walls of our beautiful building, that they can be out in the community or through our website, through digital services. So that's one thing that we're building in the next year or two is a lot more outward presence.
They had an amazing digital bookmobile on Sunday. It's just a reflection of the changing times.
For years, it was, you know, librarians in their cardigans with their glasses down their nose, and they didn't want to change. And really, if you look at the field now, it's totally different. So there are some of the really edgy digital projects going on that are happening in public libraries. So the idea is that everything is changing, but the world's always been changing. So it's really not any different. Maybe it's just changing faster now, but it's just kind of becoming part of the profession that we are, just as much as we are book experts, we are tech experts too.
Susan Brown, the new executive director of the Chapel Hill Public Library, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
And now, CBS News presented by the town of Chapel.